I'm glad to be here with you this morning to preach the Word of God. This week I had a brother come to me. He wanted to talk. And he ended up by saying, "Brother, you got to preach." He said, "Just preach it." He said, "Get up there in front of the pulpit and preach it." Well, I don't know if I'm going to preach it this morning. But I am inspired about God's Word. God's Word always is inspiring. I get inspired about the simple things of the Bible. You've already told me that I preach simply. That's okay, because it's something I can understand. I have another simple message this morning. Maybe you consider it a children's message. I don't know. But it challenged my heart. I was having family worship the other week, and we read a story about Jesus, where he performed a miracle. And I learned some things about that story. Well, I stopped and I thought about the story, maybe. And I was like, I never thought about that before. It's a story that you know by heart. You could tell me all the details of it. It's a miracle that is recorded in every gospel. It is the only one. What miracle is it? How many know? Got one hand. Okay. It was a detail that I didn't know until I was studying for this sermon. It's the miracle where Jesus fed 5,000 people. It is recorded in every gospel. It's the only one. Now, I'd like you to think about that as we read the stories. For some reason, every gospel writer recorded it. I would like to read them. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verse 15. It says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." You know this story by heart. You can almost say the verses as we get there. We're going to turn to the rest of the passages in the gospel. And I want you to think as we read them, what agrees and what disagrees. Let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. He said unto them, 'Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And when the people saw them departing, and many knew him, they ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' He answered and said unto them, 'Give ye them to eat.' And they said unto him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?' He said unto them, 'How many loaves have ye? Go and see.' And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. You're starting to see some points that stand out, things that get repeated. turn to the Luke's account. Luke 9. I'm going to start reading verse 10. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, there came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. I hope you don't wear out of this story. I didn't know if I was going to read all 4 accounts, but every account has something different or a little different portion that I'd just like you to pick up. So let's listen to it one more time in John chapter 6. This is probably one of the more detailed accounts. This gives some details that's not in any of the other accounts. John chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says, After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that they may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. A tremendous story. It's a story that you know from your childhood up. Now, hopefully by now your curiosity got the best of you and you're beginning to think through some of these details. These details that you've just heard, you have taught from your, it's a great story to tell, especially the children. The lad and his lunch. As we read the 4 accounts in the Gospels, did they disagree? Is there anything that disagreed in those accounts? I didn't find anything. In fact, they all agreed. So greatly, I was just amazed how time and time again they report the same facts. Now, if I had 4 brethren here to pick out to record what happened this morning, you would probably all write just a little bit different. You probably would report something, it's from your perspective. But this story so impressed the disciples that their facts are 100% agreed. That just is intriguing to me. Do you doubt this story at all in your mind? Do you doubt that this actually happened? Do you doubt that there was 5,000 men? Every gospel writer says there was 5,000 men. One didn't say there was about several thousand. One didn't say there was 500. Everyone says 5,000. To me, it's just a tremendous reinforcement of God's word, how gospel writers can write the gospel different times. And it all jives. It all agrees. It's the same facts. It puts strength into this story. Did you notice it said they all sat down on green grass? It says there was 12 baskets. Each writer recorded that. There was more facts. We'll look at them later. What is this story really about? When I started studying for this, my mind was going to go somewhere else. And as I kept reading these stories, my mind started to go somewhere else. Is this story about the crowd that came to see Jesus? Is that what this story is all about? Is this story about the lad? Is this story about the five loaves and two small fishes? Is it about the disciples? Is it about the great miracle that was performed? Is it about Jesus? What is this story really talking about? Now, the reason the story got my attention is because I like details. And as a deacon, you're supposed to try to provide lunch for people. And so this story piqued my attention. Any trustee that's here this morning knows that to prepare for fellowship meal takes a lot of work. This morning we have 113 people present. And it takes a little bit of organization to get you all lunch fed. Now let's really think about this. There was 5,000 men beside women and children. And y'all shook your head, you agree with this, okay? They divided up into companies. Not what we read it time and again. They divided up into companies of 100 or 50s. So they divided up into segments of people that you have right here this morning. Put these two groups together and you have about 100 people, just a little bit over 113. So this is the groups. But there's 5,000 people here. Do you know how many groups that makes? If they brought their wives, if they brought their children, I would say an easy estimate there was 10,000 people there. That would be if each man brought somebody with him. Some men brought their entire families. Some men didn't bring anybody. So let's say there was 10,000 people there. Divide up into groups of 100, you have 100 groups. You have 100 Calvary churches. And they're all in this area. And so here's the group. Out here in the parking lot's a group. Out in the ball field's a group. That's only three groups. We need 100 of them. Visualize this in your mind. I just really tried, as I read this account, how can I visualize what 10,000 people look like? And so here they sit. How could they get 10,000 people to sit down orderly? It's hard enough to get 100 people to move through an assembly line and say, okay, lunch is ready. Let's all get together to eat. That's hard. How can you get 10,000 people to sit down? It's just the tremendous story that we've got here. It's details that I've overlooked. We have 100 groups of people, 100 in each group, and who serves them? I want you to think this through. The disciples serve them. How many disciples? It says 12. The one account said the 12 disciples. You got 12 disciples to serve 100 groups. That means each group of disciples is going to serve about 8.5 groups. Did I say that right? Each disciple would have 8.5 groups of people to serve, or about 830 people. I'm just trying to put this together in my mind. How did this happen? Tremendous organization. There was miracles happening all through this story. But it's just interesting to think about. How did they serve these people? It says there was five loaves and two small fishes. And they had to break them to the people. If I was to stand here and begin to break bread to you, and if I served each person, it took me 15 seconds to break some bread. I have 830 people. Start doing the math. If I allot 15 seconds per person, it's going to take me 3.5 hours to get through my 830 people. This is the story that we read when we say that Jesus fed the 5,000. Oh, yes, we know the story. But did you think about the facts? It takes a lot of work. They put the deacons on a committee to serve the district, right? Our district always gets together up at Camp Manitowoggin. And so the deacons had to meet and say, okay, how are we going to do this? We got about 400 people. It's all going to get together. What about the lodging? What about the food? What about food preparation? Do we have enough of refrigerator space? What about the cups, the plates, the silverware, water, ice? It just goes on. Do we have enough of ovens to keep the food hot? My point is, it takes a lot of work. And this is something that Jesus did on the spur of the moment. He just said, let's serve the people. And they all sat down, they all had lunch. I don't think it took them 3.5 hours to feed. I have no idea how they did it. What is this story really about? I just started to jot things down. As it came to me, what is Jesus trying to teach me with this story? The first thing I wrote down, and I'm kind of getting away from the practical side of this because I don't have answers. How did this all happen? I don't know. But there are some things that Jesus really did want us to know. And the first one is that Jesus cares about what I'm facing in life. The account that we read in Mark 6, we started with verse 30, and it says, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things what had happened. I'd just like to back you up a little bit. What did happen? Well, if you back up into the preceding verses, their good friend, John the Baptist, was beheaded. We know that. But that'd be traumatic to be there and to know that your best friend or a good friend was killed. You'd have to work through that in your mind. The other verses say that his disciples went and they got the body and they buried it. That would be to see the shape of this body, to look at that. And to work through all them emotional details in your mind, they were wore out emotionally. They might have felt discouraged because they might have been wondering, when is it my turn? What's going to happen to the rest of us? If Herod killed John the Baptist, is he going to kill us? These are the things that would be on their mind. And they went to Jesus. And Jesus took time for them and he says, come apart. You've been working hard. You're stressed out. You need a break. Come. Let's just get away from all the stresses of life and let's relax a little bit. You need some leisure time, he says. What do I learn from this? Jesus cares about the things that I'm going through. He knows when my heart is stressed out. He knows when I'm burdened. He knows when I have more than I can handle. And he says, come, take a break. Come to me, I care about you. As I wrote this point, I thought about the song, Does Jesus Care? My point was, does Jesus cares when I'm facing life? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my work is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? The chorus is, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. Is that your testimony this morning, that you know that Jesus cares? Jesus does care. He cares. He cared about his disciples. He cares about you and me. Second thing I notice here, in all of these accounts, is that Jesus was glad that people sought him out. He wanted them to. The first people that sought him out was the disciples. They came to Jesus and they said, we're stressed out. Jesus could have said, well, I don't really care. I'm on vacation, just get out of here. I mean, I'm just trying to flip the tables, because when the disciples were with Jesus and the crowd came to him, the disciples said, get him out of here. We don't have time for him. Jesus could have told the disciples the same thing. Jesus, don't do that. Jesus wants us to seek him out. So we had the disciples seeking him out. We had the crowd seeking him out. We have people that were in the crowds that were sick. And we might have people that were coming from a day's journey with my sick loved one, just hoping that Jesus would heal. There was needs in that crowd. There was needs of healing. There was needs of comfort. I don't know if you noticed as we read, some of the accounts said that Jesus healed them of the diseases. And so this entire day, as people came to them, Jesus was healing them, taking care of them. Jesus wants us to seek him out. As people sought him out, what did he do? He met their needs. He never turned them away. And then he turned the opportunity into a teaching session. And it says he taught of the kingdom of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That as Christian people, as people seek us out, can we turn it into a teaching session and teach people about the kingdom of God? Third thing I noticed, and these are simple points, but these were things that I thought about. Third thing I noticed is that Jesus knows what we need. I already said that some were coming to be healed. Jesus knew that. He knew in that crowd of 10,000, at least we know 5,000 men, that's a fact. Of the 5,000 men, he knew every man's need. He knew what Melvin needed. He knew what Titus wanted. He knew what John was here for. He knew what Eldred was coming this morning. Every man, he could look them in the face and he could say, you're just coming this morning just to watch a miracle. Or he could say, John, you have a need in your life. You want to be healed. Jesus knows what we need. And when we come to Jesus, Jesus already knows that need and he can do something about it. Of course, when we read the story, we think about the need for food. But there was a lot of other needs that were being met. Needs. For some reason, songs were going through my mind as I was preparing this. My Jesus knows what I need. You know that song? My Jesus knows when I'm lonely. My Jesus knows that I'm burdened. And it goes on. That song, I love that song. Chorus says, my Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. It's encouraging to know that God knows what I need, what you need this morning, and we can come to him. Fourth thing I noticed is that Jesus will always have time for me. I had a point that he wants us to seek him out, but he'll never turn us away. He'll never say, just a minute, I'm busy. Call back tomorrow. I'm busy. I'm at work. I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk right now. Jesus will never do that. Jesus always has time. The scriptures that we read said Jesus was tired. Jesus didn't have anything to eat. And yet he had time for the people. He had every opportunity to say, look, I've talked to you all day yesterday, and I'm tired of it. Today is the day for me. We're on vacation. Can't you see? We went to this desert place. We're by ourselves. Just stay away. Leave me alone. Jesus always has time for us. Jesus had time for the disciples. Jesus had time for the crowds. And Jesus has time for children. We know there was children in that crowd because there was a lad there, and Jesus paid him special attention. I had to think of the verse in Luke. It just backs it up. It says, Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Somehow, in the burdens of my life, I begin to think that Jesus is probably tired of me. That Jesus don't really care what I'm going through anymore. But he does care, and Jesus does have time, and he wants us to come to him. Jesus never turns anyone away. Can you imagine if he would have said, I'm sorry, we only have room on this mountainside for 1,400 people. Donald Trump did that recently. He sold out 20,000 people showed up to listen to him speak, and he said, we're going to have room for 1,400. The rest of you get out of here. Jesus will never do that. He can meet 20,000 people's needs. At the time Donald Trump turned people away, there was people camping out all day, waiting in line, because they wanted to hear this man speak. That'll never happen to you when you wait in God's line. Jesus will never turn anyone away. The sixth thing that I notice is that Jesus knows what I have to give. He knew what was there in that crowd. He knew, without even asking, that there was a little lad that had a lunch. Jesus knew that. I brought my lunch along. 6 loaves. These are big loaves. For some reason, his mom packed him a lunch. There were 6 of these loaves, or 5 of them actually. There were 6 in my bag. Here we go. Out of 10,000 people, we had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. These weren't big trout. These weren't big bass. These are just probably pieces of dried fish. Not very appetizing, but it would take care of a little bit of a hunger need. There we go. That's all that was in that lunch. Jesus knew it was there. He knew it the entire time. I think this boy probably came from a poor family. It says they were barley loaves. Now I'm assuming something here. Maybe everybody ate barley, but it was a poor man's fare. These are nice fancy wheat rolls. They're raised, they're fluffy, they're good to eat. Barley loaves, I'm guessing, was probably fairly flat and coarse tasting. More like whole wheat grain. I should have had some whole wheat rolls. Jesus knew it. He knew that nobody else had food. Now, it seems strange to me that no one brought provisions, but that's what the scripture says. He told the disciples to go search out the crowd, find out what provisions do we have. And they came back and they said, there's a little lad, he has these 5 loaves and his 2 fishes. But what is that against feeding all of you this morning? I didn't try to figure out how much each of you would get. That's one group of the 100. What is this among so many people? God knows what you have to give this morning. God knows. He knows if all you have to give is your lunch, just a little bit. And God doesn't care if you give little or much. It's the attitude of the heart is what he's looking for. Seventh thing is that Jesus wants the little that I have. Was that even fair of Jesus to take the little boy's lunch? You really think about it. He carried that lunch with him all day to something to eat. Maybe it was for him and his dad. I just can't imagine he was there by himself. Probably with some friends, family. And this was supposed to last me all day. And Jesus says, bring out lunch here. I want it. And I can imagine as a child, it's the neat thing. Here, sure, just, yeah, you want my lunch? Take it. A child is selfless, oftentimes. Sometimes they aren't. But I think in this situation, he very readily said, here, Lord, sure, you want my lunch? Take it. Jesus wants the little that I have. Jesus knows how much I have, and Jesus wants it. Because everything he gave it is from him. I have a question for you. Would you give your lunch to Jesus? Have you given your lunch to Jesus? Do you do that on a regular basis of giving what you have to others? Somehow in our mind we always say, oh yes, absolutely, I'd be that little lad. I would give it to Jesus. But the real question is do we? Do we give what we have to Jesus? Do we give consistently? The eighth thing I've noticed is that Jesus wants to stretch my faith. Hopefully I stretched your faith this morning and your minds a little bit to think about, is this even possible? You know the story. You know it happened. Can you imagine disciples talking to Jesus and Jesus saying, do this? And he said, Lord, it's crazy. There's that many people here? 200 penny worth of bread. A penny a day was what a man got paid to work a full day's wage. They said entry level. So if you figure entry level of minimum wage, you're looking at, let's say, $15,000. He He's saying, Lord, you know, even if I had $15,000, I can't go out here and buy enough of bread for all these people. And Jesus said, well, what do we have? Some bread? A little bit of fish? Tell them, sit down. Let's eat. Stretching our faith. How many times does God bring the impossible thing into my life? And he says, just trust me. And we say, Lord, it makes no sense. I don't even care how you look at it. It ain't going to happen. There's no bread here. There's not enough. And he says, trust me. Ninth thing I notice is that Jesus wants me, and I underline the word me, to be caring to the needs that's around me. I think we've went over this enough, but these disciples were on vacation. And there's times when we want to go on vacation, and we just want to be left alone. But Jesus says, still take care of the needs that's around us. The tenth thing I notice is that Jesus calls us to action without seeing results. They did not have bread in hand yet. All they had was the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all they had. And Jesus is standing there holding the food. And he says, tell the people to sit down. Let's feed them. As a deacon, I like to have a plan before I tell you all to eat. I like to see the food on the table before I say food's ready. I just can't imagine the feeling of telling 10,000 people, sit down, we're going to have supper together, and there's no food, without faith in the Lord. Where was the disciples' faith at this time? Jesus calls us to action without seeing results. We need to obey Jesus no matter how much sense it makes. And there's times in the scripture where there's promises that we simply have to just simply say, God says it. God has promised, and I'm going to do it. I don't know how he's going to bless my life. I don't know how this is going to apply to me. But God says, this is what he wants me to do. And we need to do it. Jesus calls us to action when we don't see the results. We just never know what great miracle that God's ready to perform in your life, in my life, in this congregation. Until we step forth in faith and we say, yes, Lord, then the Lord can work. They were right on the verge of a tremendous miracle. They could have stopped. They could have balked. They could have said, Lord, you need to rest. Let's just tell the people to get out of here. But they obeyed. 11th thing is Jesus gave thanks for his food. That intrigued me. Every reading we read said Jesus blessed the bread and gave thanks. Was that just perchance? Well, some of the study guides I said was this was tradition. It probably was tradition. But if Jesus seen fit to bless his food in front of 10,000 people, what about you? What about me? Are we okay with blessing our food in front of 30 people sitting in a restaurant? People watching you, does it scare you? Can you bring honor to God by blessing your food? We see here that Jesus had to break the bread. This is the 12th thing. Jesus had to break the bread before it became useful and began to multiply. It's such a simple point. But I could begin to think that Jesus passed around loaves. But he didn't. He took a piece of bread and he broke it. And he gave John, the disciple, a piece of bread. And he gave Peter a piece of bread. And Andrew a piece of bread. And what did they do? They had to take the bread, and they began to break it and pass it out. And apparently as they broke it in their hands, it multiplied. I first thought that Jesus did all the multiplication. Maybe I'm wrong, but somewhere there was a lot of bread being multiplied. And as it broke, as it got passed out, it was multiplied into a lot of pieces. Maybe I could say that breaking of my life needs to happen before I can be a blessing to others. A breaking of my will, a giving up of what I want to do for God to be able to use me. You think about, well, we have the scripture. It says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I think Brother Titus said this morning, the big snowstorms, the blizzards that come into my life. It's things that we realize we're out of control. You think of the Bible example of Joseph. Favorite of his father, and he went to jail. To rise from jail to be leader of the land. We think of Daniel, that took a stand for the right and ended up in a lion's den. They didn't know the outcome of this, the three Hebrews. We think of Mary and Martha losing Lazarus. Our wheels need to be broken before God can use us. 13th thing is Jesus wants me to serve others. And we already said how the disciples had to be of use. They had to serve. When they were on vacation, they had other things to do. They had to serve others for this tremendous blessing. Jesus could have broke the bread to the disciples, but they had to do their part for the story to happen. 14th thing is Jesus is generous with his blessings. He meets more than my needs. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That they didn't only get one piece of bread. They didn't get a little piece of fish. And they eat it and say, I just really wish I could have had five more. It's not what the scripture says. It says they ate and were filled. I don't know how it all happened, but the scripture says it. Generous, Jesus is generous with his blessings. Even the lad that only had five loaves and two fishes all of a sudden had more than he could eat. He got his lunch back, plus. And many times, that is my Jesus. When we give something to him, Jesus will bless us abundantly. I'm not talking about wealth and riches. I'm not saying give him $10, he's giving you 20 back. But I'm saying when you give your life to Jesus, he's going to bless you, and he'll bless you more than you can receive. Plenty of food to go around. Every gospel says 12 basketfuls. They record that there was extras. And why 12 baskets? Where did the baskets come from? It was just thoughts that went through my mind. Maybe Jesus wanted a basket for each of the 12 disciples. Maybe it was their own personal baskets. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just that Jesus is generous. And it was recorded that there's 12 baskets left over. All from five loaves and two fishes. 15th thing I've noticed is that Jesus does not want us to be careless with our surplus. I don't know how many of you like leftovers. But why did Jesus say, go gather up the leftovers? Go gather up the broken pieces of bread. They were not full loaves. They were pieces of bread that you didn't eat. And so I'm passing it around. Everybody's putting their leftovers back in. I had to wonder if it was real appetizing to eat. Maybe Jesus just simply wanted to make a point that I can bless you so much that you're going to have leftovers. But the point is, Jesus said, don't waste it. Don't throw it on the ground. Pick them up. Jesus wants us to be thrifty. Jesus wants us to take care of the blessings that he sends our way. He doesn't want us just to be wasteful and trash things. Jesus wants the surplus to bring honor to him. I had to think of the verse that we use often in closing. It's one of my favorites. That it shows the power to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Can you even imagine what God could do with a little bit of bread and two fishes? Can you imagine what God can do with your life? Can you imagine, or what would you like to imagine that God can do with this church? God can do it. God can work that power in our lives if we allow him. 16th thing. All these other points started with Jesus. Something had to do with Jesus. The last one is this. There was 5,000 men got to see a miracle with their own eyes. The scripture says that's what they came out for. This man was a miracle working man, and they seen a miracle with their own eyes. They got to see what they came for. Every one of them. What did it do for them? Did it change their life? Did they become a believer? Did they go out and disciple other people? Did they begin to teach the kingdom of God? I don't know. I'm sure it affected them some way. What does you? What does seeing a miracle do for you? When we see God working, when we see the power of God, does it humble us? Does it change our life? Or do we just follow blindly, looking for a miracle? What is the story about? Was it about the disciples? Was it about the crowd? Was it about the food? It's about Jesus. It's about the power of God. It's about the power of God that can work in your life, can work in my life. What are we going to allow it to do? Will we allow it to change us and serve Him every day of our life? Let's kneel for a word of prayer.